May we pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name that is above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We thank you that by his death and resurrection, he has defeated all his and our enemies. Though we do not yet see all things under his feet, yet we know that there is coming a day when the very last enemy, an alien to our planet, will be utterly, finally, totally obliterated and defeated, even death itself. And so, Lord, as we gather here today, we pray for the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, who alone can take Scripture and seal it to our hearts. We pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that the Word would be mixed by faith, with faith, Lord, that we may profit from it and find comfort. In Jesus' name, amen. The first point of this message, which will be now, is taken from John chapter 10, where Jesus said in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." I want to correct a lie. It is a depressing lie that people struggle with in the wake of a death such as Ian's. And that is that if we die by our own hand, there is no hope of heaven. That is a lie. I want to tell you that every one of Christ's sheep will be saved. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Then he tells us that they're in the hands of the Father. And then he tells us that in his hands and in the Father's hands, because they are one, even as we are one with Christ, we are secure. The Bible teaches the eternal security of the believer. Not of every church member, not of every person that's been baptized, but of every believer. I knew Ian. I knew him well. Ian, in spite of struggles, in spite of sickness, trusted in Jesus Christ. I want to read you another passage of Scripture, and that's found in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 4. Because I believe it really underscores the comfort that we have of every believer, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And therefore, Ian is not here. He has left behind a part of himself, a part of himself that will be reconstituted when the trumpet sounds and the archangel shouts and the Lord Jesus Christ returns. He is with Jesus. When he went to be with Jesus, I'm not exactly sure. It may have been Tuesday night a week ago. It may have been Sunday afternoon. I'm not sure. But of this I am sure. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Let me share a passage of Scripture with you from the book of Romans, chapter 4, in verse 6. "Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Imputation or the Greek word on which it's based, and the Hebrew word on which the Greek word is based, are accounting terms. They have to do with charging something to somebody's account. In our modern terminology, it would be like a credit card. A credit card that someone gives you to be used at your discretion, but whose bill is paid by someone else. Now, I want you to understand the man who is the author of this in Psalm 32, quoted in Romans 4, is King David. And King David wrote these words having committed two capital crimes. You see, adultery under the Old Testament law, under the law of God, was punishable by death. And so David was guilty of a capital crime, and in order to cover up that capital crime, he committed the sin of murder. He was a guilty man. But he wrote about the blessedness of the man who has a sin credit card, to put it anachronistically. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not charge his sins. We have the mistaken notion that somehow another, if we forget to confess a sin, somehow another it's a barrier between us and God. We have the mistaken notion that somehow another, if we have not asked God to forgive us at the moment we die, we can't make it into heaven. I want you to know, if you knew your heart the way God knows it, and my heart the way he knows it, well, none of us would ever make it into heaven, because there's a lot about you that you don't even know, and a lot about me that not even my wife and I know. Only the Lord knows. And if the Lord marked iniquity, who would stand? David, as a murderer, could write, "How blessed is that man who has a sin credit card." David charged it. Jesus paid it in full. Now that's the gospel. And I want you to know something. If David, and I've been with people in ICU who've had this happen to them, if David had had a heart attack in the act of adultery with Bathsheba, he would have gone to heaven. And if you have difficulty with that, it's simply that you haven't really understood the essence of the gospel, that it is by grace alone, received through faith alone, in Christ alone. That is my confidence as I stand before you. Christ died for Ian Scott Job's sins. Christ died for my sins. And therefore, as I stand before you, I am comforted. I want you to ponder that as we continue the service by singing the next song, In Christ Alone. If we ended now, I would fail in my task. So I would like you to give attention to the Word of God one more time from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Please hear me well. The Bible tells us that all things, not some things, all things work together for good to those who love God, not for everybody, for those who love God. The Bible also tells us there, or let's say what the Bible doesn't tell us there, is that all things are good. Life is full of evil. Life is full of sin, darkness, and pain. If you live long in this world, you know something of that. People will knife you in the back. They will betray you. They will lie about you. They will hurt you. To know people well is to know their tragedy. I cannot leave here without saying the following. I respect Ian. I knew Ian. I love Ian. He is with Jesus. But what he did was a very bad thing. And if I fail to say that to you, I have failed all of you. And particularly I failed young people. Because Ian loved life. That's the strange contradiction, isn't it? Ian loved life. And Ian would spend time with other people encouraging them to live. God forbid that this service and all of the tributes that have been given about Ian on the internet over the past week would leave anyone here thinking that what he did was heroic, that it was something to be imitated, that this is the way to get attention, that this is the way to get people to hear you. God forbid that you would go out of here thinking that. For Christ Jesus' sake, choose life. For Christ Jesus' sake, don't take your own life. Because I know I'm speaking to some people who are thinking about it. And I want you to hear me really well. And even though Ian is with Jesus, he would shout from heaven, live! 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 Choose life! Amen. I want you to know that. All things work together for good. Not that all things are good to those who love God. In Ian's death, because his father was able to restart his heart, being a physician, Ian's body, according to Ian's wishes, is giving life to people, heart and other organs, who would never live without Ian's body. That's for good. But there's something far more important than life in this world, and that is life in the world to come. If through Ian's death, the tragedy of his death, the pain of his death, some people here today come to grips with the fundamental issue, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him? That's the most important thing of all. If by Ian's death, people here today who do not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ would choose today to seek God until they found him, would choose today to pray and ask the Lord Jesus to come into their heart, to change them and to give them a new heart, to give them the gift of repentance and the gift of faith, and to seek God until they know they found him, I'll tell you what, in eternity we'll all say, well, even in the case of Ian Jobe's death, all things work together for good to those who love God. I leave you then with that question before we dismiss. Do you know the Lord Jesus? If you don't know him, you could become the President of the United States, the owner of the wealthiest country in the world. And what have you gained? A few moments of pleasure for an eternity of pain. But if you know the Lord Jesus, no matter what happens in this life, he'll be with you. In your grief and in your tears, he'll sustain you. And you'll be with him forever. May we pray. Lord, as we sing this final hymn, as we go from this place, leaving the family for the private part of this service, we pray that your Holy Spirit would haunt us. Haunt us, Lord, until each of us here really and truly comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ, truly is born again, truly knows Christ. How wonderful it would be if there would be people who in eternity would say, on January the 28th, 2015, I passed from darkness to life. I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, only knowing about him before I was born again. How wonderful it would be in eternity
that some would be able to say that. Lord, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you join me in singing Amazing Grace as we stand together, and we will sing five stanzas.